From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the earthly life of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that will give insights into the various aspects of our Lord's temporal ministry, from His teaching and miracles to His atoning death on the cross and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Uncover and Confess Sin. The text is Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Here is the way of mercy for a guilty and repenting sinner. He must cease from the habit of covering sin. This is attempted by falsehood, which denies sin, by hypocrisy, which conceals it, by boasting, which justifies it, and by loud profession, which tries to make amends for it. The sinner's business is to confess and forsake. The two must go together. Confession must be honestly made to the Lord Himself, and it must include within itself acknowledgment of the wrong, sense of its evil, and abhorrence of it. We must not throw the fault upon others, nor blame circumstances, nor plead natural weakness. We must make a clean breast of it, and plead guilty to the indictment. There can be no mercy till this is done. Furthermore, we must forsake the evil. Having owned our fault, we must disown all present and future intent to abide in it. We cannot remain in rebellion and yet dwell with the King's majesty. The habit of evil must be quitted, together with all places, companions, pursuits, and books which might lead us astray. Not for confession nor for reformation, but in connection with them we find pardon by faith in the blood of Jesus.
See you.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. On today's edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message called Healing a Son, Saving a Father. The setting is in John chapter 4, where simply by His word the Lord Jesus heals the son of a nobleman without ever seeing him. Among the lessons in this narrative, we see Christ's sovereign power over sickness and death. In addition, in this and all of His miracles, we learn that the Savior's word comes with absolute authority. Furthermore, the miracles reveal the Lord's mission in coming to earth, the reversal of the curse of sin. Finally, this miracle teaches that Christ's grace leads souls with weak faith into a glorious assurance. Here is the pattern reflected in the life of every saved sinner: seeking faith, trusting faith, and assured faith, which ultimately leads to a witnessing faith. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, Healing a Son, Saving a Father.
I can't understand why some Christians hate the doctrine of an effectual call. To believe any other than the effectual call that brings a sinner to life is to limit the authority of the word of Christ. When Jesus says, live, I want to tell you, all hell could stand on its head. It will not stop that soul from living. When Jesus says, live, every force on earth can oppose the giving of life, but those forces will retreat in utter defeat. For this is the word of the King. Where the word of a king is, there's power. This is the King of Kings. This is the power of all powers. This is the authority of the word of the living Christ. The absolute power. That's the word that created the worlds. We read this in Psalm 33, 8 and 9. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And what he did in the first creation, thank God he does in the new creation. Furthermore, this is the word that upholds creation. This universe of ours is an amazing place. And the more, never get, by the way, just a little word of caution, never fall for the propaganda of the pit that you're constantly having thrown at you. That because astronomers have been able to put up Hubble telescopes and they have been able to look out into space and they've been able to formulate theories that may be right, wrong, or whatever, that they can understand the universe. You know, the more men of science understand about anything, whether it is the most microcosmic bit of creation or the vast reaches of space, the more they learn, the more they realize they can't begin to understand. This is an amazing place in which we live. From the single cell right through to the vast bodies of the heavens. Everything in motion. What holds it all together? Colossians 1:17, Jesus Christ. How does he do it? Hebrews 1:3, he upholdeth all things by the word of his power. The Lord isn't running around the universe at lightning speed, fixing this and fixing that, and trying to catch up with this error and that error, and facing that problem and dealing with the other challenge. The Lord is not doing that. By the word of his power, by the strength of his sovereign decree, he upholds all things. Oh, the power of the word of Christ. And again, what he does in the natural creation, he does in the spiritual creation. What holds the soul of a Christian in grace? The very same word of power. The word that says, live, upholds you in life. And that for all eternity. I love to think of that. The power of the sovereign word of Christ. Upholding and guaranteeing the life, the well-being, the security, the eternal welfare of the weakest, trembling soul, trusting in him. What power is that? Thank God nothing can gainsay or overthrow this word. The 33rd Psalm, verse 11 says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generation. When Jesus says to the Father in John 17 in his great high priestly prayer concerning his believing people, given to him in the covenant of grace by the decree of election from all eternity, he says, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Who's going to be in heaven? I can't tell you all their names, but I can tell you everyone that Jesus Christ has asked to be with him in heaven will be there. Now, the devil doesn't want them there. And all hell is raging against their getting there. And there are pitfalls and there are snares. And there are many oppositions. But the word of the King cannot be gainsaid or overthrown. Because when he commands, it is done. And none can say to him, stay his hand, or say to him, what doest thou? Think of this. It should beget in us an admiration and a worship. I can't begin this morning. And I feel this. I feel, even as I preach, to be quite honest, I feel utterly frustrated by it. I cannot begin to describe the majesty and the authority and the glory of the word and the decree of King Jesus. I can't do that. I would to God I had the tongue of a Spurgeon. I would to God I had the tongue of an angel. But I think that even then I would feel. And lacking those, I feel frustrated. How can I express to myself or to you, how can I express the authority of the word of the Christ of God? I trust that where you sit, you'll cry to God as I have done. Lord, speak to my heart. Do this. Show me this. Reduce my heart from its pride. Listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Reduce my heart from the pride of unbelief. The pride of unbelief. The pride that says, because I can't see how it's done, God can't do it. The pride that says, because I see something to challenge me and my well-being and the work of God, that therefore the sovereign decree of Christ is somehow suspect. Lord, show me the authority of the word of the King and bring my heart to admiration and to worship. When the Lord Jesus comes back again, I read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he comes back to be admired in all or by all his saints. Let us start heaven today. Heaven begins when we admire and worship such a Savior. This authority of the word of Christ should beget in us confidence. Time forbids that I turn you back to Hebrews 6:13 and then 17 through 20. This is the passage that says, God has confirmed his word with an oath. He has sworn by himself, because he can swear by none greater, that by these two things, God's promise, God's word, and God's solemn oath sealing the promise, that by these two things, we would have confidence. We would have a sure and certain hope, an anchor for our soul. This is what gives us confidence. Daniel said to the angel who came to speak to him, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Oh, we may say the same. Lord, speak, thou hast strengthened me. That will always be the case. If you come to this church and this is a solemn thought for any preacher. You can come here and go out bitter in heart, angry in soul, empty in soul. You can come and listen to me week after week and do nothing but find fault. I'm not going to find fault with you finding fault. I can tell you that whatever fault anybody ever finds with this preacher, they peel into insignificance compared to the faults he finds in his own preaching. But if all you hear is the preacher, God help you. You are in miserable, miserable condition. For I can't strengthen your soul. I can't strengthen your soul. However hard I try, I cannot administer grace to your soul. That's why this should beget prayer in you. Speak, Lord. And I used to visit John Douglas's house. Their children were little. We'd be there as we met around the family altar. Those little children were taught from the earliest years to pray a prayer that never left me, and I have prayed it many times. Lord, give me Samuel's ears. Lord, give me Samuel's ears. Speak, Lord. Ah, the Lord is speaking. Yet some of you have gone out of this house week after week. You've heard nothing beyond the voice of a preacher. I know from interviews with people the Lord has spoken to others to save their souls. He has spoken to others to warm their hearts. He has spoken to backsliders to restore them to the joy of the Lord. I know from speaking to others He has spoken to them to minister the grace of God to the needs of their heart. And yet some have come and they have gone and they have heard nothing. Lord, speak to me. There is authority in the Word of Christ. And I have only time to suggest the last thing, and I hope it will be true of us all. That Christ's grace leads souls out of weak faith all the way into a joyous assurance. Follow the noble man. He came to Christ with a very weak faith. He was exclusively focused on the things of this life. He was occupied rather with what he could receive from Christ in the physical than with the glory of the person of Christ. But notice what happened. Christ began to work with him. Here are the obvious stages of a growing faith, and I trust you will find their counterpart in you. First, this man had a seeking faith. It depended on the reports of others, but that's not a bad thing, to hear and believe about Christ. He believed enough to come seeking, and the Lord Jesus encouraged his earnest pleading. Then he had a trusting faith. He believed the word. And even though he had seen no miracle, he believed the Lord Jesus. And he was commanded by Christ to express that trust by his obedience. Go your way. And he did. Then he arrived at an assured faith. His servants came and said, "Your son lives." But the Lord had already told him that. He knew it because Jesus had told him it. Now he had the confirmation. He had an assured faith. And that led to a witnessing faith that led the whole household to Christ. And that's precisely how the Lord did. He's the same today. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's how he deals with us. As he reverses the curse, his word is all powerful. And he leads us to a glorious assurance. So what's the message? As we close out today, make sure you hear, not me. Well, if you must start with me, at least believe what I say about Christ. Believe what I tell you about Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But then act in what you hear. Seek the Lord for yourself. And when you seek Him, He'll deal with you. And He'll lead you all the way to a full assurance where you will become a witness to others. As you read in the 66th Psalm, "Come, and I'll declare the great things that He hath done for my soul." May God turn our eyes upon Jesus. And today, may we all meet with Him who healed the Son and saved the Father. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father, we thank Thee for our Savior. Oh, we bless Thee for His mighty power in reversing the curse of sin and bringing us into the blessing of salvation. Lord, we thank Thee for the authority of His Word, which stands over the dead sinner and says, "Live." Lord, we thank Thee for His great grace that takes the weakest trembling soul and leads him all the way through to full assurance of faith. Lord, do this in many hearts today. and grant the response of faith to the word of grace. Part us now with thy blessing and keep us in thy fear. Be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought church today and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.